All right, this is Raymond Ray. Today is April 1st, 2017, and I'm conducting an oral history with Yoshi Yang for Straight Outta Fresno, a project of Fresno State's Valley Public History Initiative. I want to thank you, Yoshi, for taking part in this, helping us out. Let's start from the beginning, man. When's your birthday, Yoshi?
11/22/84, man. That's November 22nd, 1984.
All right. And where were you born?
Fresno. Born and raised.
Born and raised.
Yeah, born and raised.
Okay, cool. And tell me, Yoshi, where are your parents from?
My dad is from Laos, and then my mom is from Thailand.
Laos and Thailand, okay.
Yeah.
And they immigrated here to the States?
Yes, they immigrated here after that, after the Vietnam War. When the war was still going on, they're just, you know, trying to escape from war. And then, after that, and then, they were one of the lucky, they're the lucky persons, some of the lucky persons that got accepted to the United States.
And did they settle here in Fresno?
They first settled in the East Coast, okay. Yeah, or Midwest, you can say, Iowa, Nebraska, around there.
And
they're there for like maybe like 7-8 years before they came across to Fresno.
Okay. And do you know what year that was?
That was maybe in the early mid 70s, you can say. Yeah.
Okay, and so they settled here in Fresno. What part of Fresno?
Okay, when I was born here, so they settled in the east side of Fresno.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I was born, maybe like a year after, we moved down to Visalia. And then we stayed there for like another 7 years and then moved back to Fresno. And then we were in the... basically in the central Fresno for like 2 years, then moved back to the east side of Fresno.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's where everything started.
Cool. So tell me, Yoshi, what was it like growing up here in Fresno?
Man, growing up here is crazy. It's crazy. Back in my time, either if you weren't going to school,
mm-hmm.
and if you weren't finding type of sports, you're probably in a gang.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So big concentration of gangs where you grew up in the neighborhood?
Yeah, big. Yeah, yeah. A lot of violent.
Yeah. And what neighborhood you grow up in, like cross streets, because there's people who are familiar with East Side, so they'll know.
Oh, okay. Like, yeah, well, first it was, First and Belmont.
Okay.
Yeah. All and, right. You know, people like to call it Second Street.
Okay.
You know, that's like right across the street from, Romaine's.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right across the street from Romaine's. We were there for like I said, like 2 years, maybe pushing three. And then, you know, it was it's like that place is really corrupted and like, you know, a lot of violence and gang there. So we kind of just moved out towards the east side by Sunnyside High School, now Sunnyside High School.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we've just been there for about 18, 19 years now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of family around that
yeah.
neighborhood?
Yeah, they're like scattered.
Okay.
Yeah, they're like scattered, but
yeah.
Yeah, you can say.
And for people who don't know, east side, big concentration in Hmong community, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So tell me, what schools did you attend here in Fresno?
In 92, I attended a school called Burroughs Annex.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's no more school because the freeways, the city bought the school and then they made a freeway over it.
Right, right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
That's the 180.
Yeah. And then 94, that was when we moved to the east side by Sunnyside High School on okay. King's Canyon right there. And then went to AIR school. And then after AIR, my intermediate school was King's Canyon.
Mm-hmm.
And then King's Canyon, then Sunnyside. Yeah.
Graduated from Sunnyside High School. Okay. So the focus of this project is Southeast Fresno, the East Side, Southeast Asian community, the Hmong community, and it's focusing on breakdancing, b-boying, b-girling. And you're a b-boy, right?
Correct.
All right. One of the
former.
Former?
Yeah. Hey,
you don't get down.
Here and there, here and there, here and there. Okay. I still get down, you know.
Okay. All right. So tell the listeners for us, if you could, how'd you get into b-boying? How'd you get into dancing?
Shoot.
Who introduced you, Yoshi?
You can say my brothers, man.
Yeah?
Yeah, back in, you could say 91, 92, man, when my brother and them were breakdancing, you know, that time I was like, what, maybe like a third grader, second, third grader? Yeah. Every day I come home from school, I'll see the couches pushed to the side, you know, some old school freestyle music come, and then, you know, see them busting, you know, some like windmills and stuff like that, and some scrambles, you know, we called it scrambles back then, you know? Yeah, and then, yeah, dude, I'll just sit down, you know, have some popcorn, just be like, damn, that's pretty tight, you know, but, you know, you're a little kid, so you didn't really think anything, you know, you're just like, oh, okay, that's pretty cool, so, you know, okay, and then, you know, you just go on with your own thing, and then as the year passed, 94, you know, elementary school, and then da-da-da, you know, still do your own thing, and then, you know, once it hit sixth grade, once I hit sixth grade, you know, I was like, dude, you know what? Shoot, my, you know, I was like, I like this thing, dude. I'm going to try. I'm going to give it a shot, you know, And I started, and then that's when I started, you know, dancing slowly, and then went to middle school, and then had some buddies there that was breakdancing too. So I was like, oh, cool, you know. They're like, hey, you breakdance too? I was like, hell yeah. I think it's tight. And he was like, hey, dude, you know, maybe after school, let's go to a park, you know, we can go and bus. I was like, yeah, that's cool. And then that's where I first met that. That's where I went to Mosqueda. That was the first park I went to. And then my buddies, their crew was Horizon. So I was like, okay, cool. Hell yeah. You know, about to get down and then breaking. And then, you know, and then they're like, hey, dude, that's tight. You know, now I started busing and then, you know, doing these funny little turtle freezes and little funny hollowbacks, you know. And then, that's how I got my name right there, Yoshi, right there.
Okay.
Yeah. My original name is Chewy. Yeah.
Chewy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's how they got that's how they got my name. So I started busing. They're like, dude, this little guy looks like Yoshi when he's busing. So I was like, all right, cool. And they just started calling me Yoshi since then. Yeah. And I've just been keeping that name. Yeah, and then, yeah, from then on, dude. And then, you know, I saw my buddies, you know, Billy, Tu, Kong, Chua, dude, there's like so many names to name, but yeah, dude, there were some of the guys that, you know, kind of like opened me up too, like, you know, some of the guys that that kind of inspired me too, you know, besides my brother. So I was like, hell yeah, and, you know, and then one day I went home, I started getting it down, and my brother's like, what? What'd you learn all this? I was like, shh, I'm tripped, man, you know? My DL stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and then from then on, and then, you know, my bro was like, hey, dude, if you want to get down, let's get down again. And then, bam, and that's when both of my brothers started teaching me, you know, getting down hardcore. And then, yeah, dude, just started getting down from there. We just started killing it.
You mentioned one of the spots that you danced at, Mosqueda Center.
Yeah.
What were some of the other spots that you guys danced at?
Shoot.
You talked about also your living room, your home.
Yeah,
home,
yeah. So. You know, we first, we had like this little garage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll just throw a Nolim on there, you know, and then we'll just practice there, you know. We were kind of broke too, so, you know, we had no beat. Right. We'll just, you know, slap a... Busted a no-limb, sometimes cardboard too, you know, when we can't afford that no-limb, sometimes cardboard, and then we just bust
just
there.
Like the
yeah,
old days,
just like the old days, dude. Yeah. Like, we'll do like 10, 12 hours a day. That's no joke. Thanks. Yeah, that's no joke. That's no joke. Yeah, and then some of the, you know, as we advanced, some of the schools that we were busting, because that time we didn't really know a lot of park. I mean, you know, my brother, they knew like Romaine's, Holmes, Mosqueda, Tetsi Wells, you know, but... You know, at that time, we were just busing at schools, you know, Kings Canyon. You know, we'll walk there to Kings Canyon. We had no ride yet. We were still young. And then, you know, our cousins from Clovis, you know, we'll go breakdance at Clark, you know, middle school. We'll go bust there. And then sometimes we even go to, like, Fancher Creek, you know. right there off of Fowler, and then we'll just, schools was like our thing back in the days. It was just like school, school, school. And then, yeah, as we advanced, and then, you know, we started hearing like, oh, Romaine's, oh, you know, Holmes and Tetsy Wells, and we're like, okay, cool. And then, you know, like growing up, because like there was like a lot of crews, you know, like they kind of like had their own spots, you right, know what I'm saying? Right. So, okay, you know, it's kind of like you start from stage one and you level up, you know what I'm saying? So we started from the house, and then from then on, then, you know, as we got good, and, you know, they're like, oh, there's a crew that breaks here. Let's go and battle them, you know what I'm saying? Then we'll practice, and then we'll battle them. And then, you know, okay, everything's cool. And then, you know, a couple months down the line, oh, there's another crew at Holmes. Let's go and battle them, you know. That's how we used to battle back in the days.
Yeah. Tell me some of the crews around growing up at that time. When you're
in the crew.
And from what was their turf? Did they all have their own spot?
Okay. From when I started, my generation, there was CNS. They were creating new styles. Mm-hmm. There was Puppet Master. There was Sliders. And then, you know, us, DIS. Mm-hmm. And then there was Wizard. There was Lunacy. I think they were OAC first, and they became Lunacy. I can't remember. Or they're two separate. But and then I think that was it, bro. That was it, yeah. And then, we would just get down and, like, say King's Can. That would be CNS, mm-hmm. You know. That's, like, kind of like their turf, you know. So we're like, okay, we'll go in and battle them there, you know. And then, yeah, battle. We'll battle for days, you know. Yeah. Like, we'll battle for, like, 7-8 hours and won't be satisfied. And we'll be like, okay, next week, come on, let's do it again. And then we'll battle. But, like, you know. Back in the days, there was no winner, no losers, you know. Back in the days, it was just like, hey, dude, you know, just, hey, you know, like, hey, that's some good stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. Hey, you got some new stuff, that's tight. Oh, shoot, you got some new stuff, that's tight, you know. Mm-hmm. It was never, oh, man, we killed you, dude, you lost. No, it was none of that, you know. It was just like, hey, dude, that's good, man, keep it up again. We'll battle again next time, you know. Yeah, and then from then on, like, and then after that, there would be, like, for example, Puppet Master. You know, they're from, like, Tetsy Wells, you know what I'm saying? And we'll go to Tetsy Wells and then battle Puppet Master, and then we'll go on from there, keep going. And then, yeah, Sliders from Tetsy Wells. And then, yeah, dude, and then Holmes and Romaine's, that would be, like, us and Wizards. And, yeah, and then, yeah, that's all the crew I can remember from my time, yeah. From before that, there used to be, like, you know, Bums, like, 92, like, Bums, Smurfs, DIS, because I'm a third-gen DIS, so, you know, my brother kind of, DIS was established in 92, mm-hmm. You know, AIM, X-Men, Eminem, Mystic Motion, you know, and then, yeah, that's, like, the the Hmong crews, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Some of the Hmongs and some of the, Asians. And yeah, dude, it's just.
So what was, like, you just touched on it a little bit. What was, like, the makeup of, like, your crew growing up?
The makeup of, how DIS established?
Like, was it all Hmong? Was it, like,
it was all Hmong first, all Hmong. Yeah. Because it was, like, it was, like, a little, like, a neighborhood, kind of like a block, kind of.
Got it.
Yeah, one day my brother was just chilling. He had, like, a group of buddies, and he was just like, damn, how am I going to think of a badass crew name? Mm-hmm. And then he was just chilling, and then that Forever song, Alphaville, you guys heard of it, Forever Young?
Nah, give us a little bit, you know?
You know, Jay-Z kind of, like, put that song and then kind of, like, rapped a little bit, you know what I'm saying? Forever Young. You guys know, right? Yeah. Well, the first couple words, uh-huh. You know, he said it, and then my bro was like, oh, shoot, that's pretty tight, you know, because it goes, let's dance in style, let's dance for a while, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, dance in style, all right, DIS, dance in style, you know what I'm saying? Then, yeah, from then on, then, yeah, we just made DIS there.
Nice, man.
Yeah. And then from there on, then, yeah, that's when he got, you know, my other brother, and then some friends and cousins, Yeah, and they were getting it down.
A little small transition here. Let me ask you, why do you think, why hip hop? Why break dancing for the Hmong community? Why not like punk rock or, you know, any other form of music? Why do you think like resonates within the Hmong community? Why break dancing? Why b-boying?
Maybe because, like, you know, like back in the days, you know, like our the elders, you know, our parents, they were like really strict of the kids going out and play. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, you know, when we came here, you know, they were like, oh shoot, you know, you can't go out. You know, you're going out, that means you're a gang bang, you're being a thug, right? You know, they didn't really like, oh shoot, you know, yeah, you are doing sports, you know, okay, you know, they're just like, nope, you're out, you're being a thug, you know. So breakdancing, it's kind of like, you know, you're indoors, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, you're busting there, so they can't really say nothing because you're not out, you know. So that's kind of like, you could say like a root of how, you know, of how Hmong b-boys or, you know, breaking b-boys got big, you know. And then, you know, as it grows on, the kids grow up, have kids, and they understand more, you know. Then they're like, okay, cool, you know, do what you like, you know. Yeah.
How did specifically your parents feel about you b-boying and your brothers?
Oh, back in the days, there was no support.
No support.
They'll be like, what the hell are you doing that? You're going to break your leg, son. You don't need to stop doing that. That's gonna influence you to go hang out with your friends, and you're gonna become thugs. But, you know, but we just kind of ignored that, and we just kept on, you know, just kept on doing our thing. You know, kept on doing our thing, and then, you know, as it went down the line, you know, they kind of, you know, what I'm saying, they kind of like, oh shoot, you know, he really isn't a thug. You know, he really is doing something for himself. Yeah, and then, you know, as age goes on, you know, they're kind of like letting you slide a little.
give me a little more of a thing.
Yep.
I gotcha. And I'm curious, I think a lot of us are curious, are there any Hmong b-girls growing up? Are there some now that you know of? Like, what are Hmong women, like, how are they a part of the scene growing up?
Shoot, back in my time, there was, like, the girls were more protective. You know, the parents are more protected of the girls, the women's, you know what I'm saying? Like, they cannot go out because they're like, oh, shoot, you know, if she goes out, then that's going to put shame to us. So, no, you can't not do, you know, do stuff in that, you know?
Right.
Yeah, so they were more strict on the women's, the girls, than you know, us men and guys, you know?
So, like, at battles and stuff, like, parties you guys went to and you guys are getting down?
Yeah,
mostly guys?
Yeah, back in the days, yep. Or their wives, you know?
Oh, okay.
Asian people get married young back in the days, you know? 16, 15. Yeah. Yeah, so, basically, you see a girl there is, you know, their wife or something, you know? Yeah, during the mid and the late 90s, yeah, it was strict. It was strict.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everything.
You think it's eased up a little bit? Like,
yeah, it eased up a lot. Yeah. Eased up a lot.
Yeah.
Because, you know, now, like, the older gens, you know, the people that started from, like, the 90s, you know, late 80s, early 90s, you know, now they're parents, you know, and then now that generation, you know, they're like more laid back, you know, like, okay, cool, you know.
Are you a parent yourself?
Yeah, I'm a parent myself. Yeah, two kids.
Okay.
Yeah.
How old are your kids?
One is 6 and one is 3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They ever see, do you see you?
Yeah, they see me bust too.
Yeah.
Yeah. My son's a nerdo though.
Yeah.
Yeah, my son's a nerdo. My daughter, she gets down though.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's good. Yeah, she gets down.
Future B girl?
Yeah, I hope so, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of don't want, like, you know, I kind of want to put her into it, but, like, I don't want to force her to at the same time, you know?
Right.
Yeah, I want to do what she loves, you know?
Yeah.
But I know she got a little of, you know, of my gene in there.
Nice, man.
Yeah.
So let's get back into, like, battling. Like, how do these go down? Like, It was just you guys just show up on someone's spot and you guys plan it.
Yeah, like we'll plan it, you know, like one guy will know another. Like they'll go to the same school and then, you know, we just kind of like chain of command kind of, you know, like, hey, dude, just, hey, let that crew know that Saturday, dude, at like 12, let's go to like King's Canyon or something, you know, and let's just, you know, tell them we want to battle. And then they'll be like, okay, cool. And then just get a bunch of guys that day and then just warm up and then be like, all right, you guys ready? And then, you know, we'll just start bussing. Yeah.
For someone who's never seen a battle, B-boy, you know, people get down, describe it to us. Describe it to the people listening.
Like back in the days, like now, okay, like now they have sets, you know, they call it sets where like you kind of like have like your moves made up already, you know, and then you're going to study that and then you're going to do that, you know what I'm saying? And then they just have like 10 different sets. Back in the days, it was like no sets, you know. You just go in. You know, you just go in, you just go in. We just take turn. We just take a turn, you know. And then if like one guy can't do the moves we're doing, then we called it bomb back in the days. Mm-hmm. You know, when like two or three of the guys go at the same time, you know. Mm-hmm. Like I go. And then they can't go, and then the other guy goes and repeat what I do, you know. And if they can't do it, then we're just gonna keep doing the same thing over and over, you know. Mm-hmm. And then we have routines too. I mean, bomb. We called it bomb back then. Now they call it commandos. Yeah, they call it commandos now. Yeah. And then routine is still the same, you know. You have routines, you know. Three guys go in and they do the same thing, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but yeah, back then it was like an overkill when you got bombed. You know, it was like overkill. Yeah. Like, for example, like, say, and, like, their strategy, too, back then, if they don't, people now think that battle back then didn't have no strategy. They have strategies back then, too, you know, like, because, like, for my crew, there was no leader. Everybody was the leader, you know, DIS, no leader, you know. Like, I'll be the spokesman, but no leader, you know. Mm-hmm. Everybody's always good. There ain't nobody better than another. Everybody's equal, you know, so we'll train everybody equal the same. You know, we won't continue on a new move until you get it, you know. So we all would just sit down together and just do that same move. If it takes us a month, 2 months, it's going to take us a month, 2 months. We're all going to get good together, you know. Mm-hmm. And we're not going to leave nobody behind. So we'll do that. And then, you know, because there's certain crews that can only do certain stuff. You know, one guy can do this. One guy can do that.
Right.
You know, the other can do this. But, you know. Because I grew up like my brother, everybody has to do it, you know what I'm saying? So everybody can get at everything, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, yeah, dude, and then, you know, so, like, we'll have, like, a strategy where, like, this guy can do, like, for example, we'll just say, like, windmills, right? This guy can only do two windmills, let him go in, you know, do two windmills, kind of like a little strategy, and then they go in, they can do five, and then, okay, you go, you can do 10, go 10 and top him, you know? He used to always be topping. Bam, 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 bam. And then from then on, then we'll add combos, you know. And then combos and then combos. And we just kind of change it up. And then who can do it the most. And then, you know, if they can't do it, if we know that that guy can't do it, then we're just going to keep going. Because we got like some moves that you know, we thought of already, you know. And then we'll go and show it off. And then, bam, everybody got it. And then we just keep, you know, bombing, you know. Because back in the days, during my time, man, we were broke, so we had no cameras or nothing, you know what I'm saying? So we just practice, you know. We'll go, and then, you know, we just, like, think of our own stuff, you know, like, create our own stuff and just get down, and then we'd be like, oh, shoot, okay, these guys got it, too. All right, let's top them, you know, and then, yeah, dude, just get down like that, man. But, yeah, dude, when you get bombed, you know that it's over. You know, it's over, yeah. It's over.
So that's how these moves are shown to you guys, are passed on. So
yeah,
it's like, cause
yeah.
Like you just said you didn't have videos.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Or did you ever have videos that you guys reference? Or
okay, there. Yeah, back in the days, well, my brothers, they had videos.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we just kind of like, like power moves back then was everything, you know. Right. Footwork was there too. Footwork was like a plus, you know, like doing scrambles and stuff, and freezes was a plus. But you know, power move was popping. You know, so everybody was doing that. But yeah, we got my brother, my cousin from San Jose, you know, got everybody into it really deep because he got the videos. And then, you know, he'll bring us videos of like Air Force, you know, Little Caesar, you know, Iron Monkey, B-Boy Ivan, you know, some Rock Force guys, these two brothers. I don't really know what's their name, but they're not Rock Force, but 3D Jugheads. Mm-hmm. You know, they wear tights and they'll just start busting, you know, badass combos. And then so, you know, we just look on that and we're like, okay, cool, we're going to get that. And then, you know, we just come back and then, all right, let's go. How did they do it? Oh, I think this is how they did it. And then, you know, we'll just vibe off from each other. Yeah. And then, you know, practice, man. Practice makes perfect, too, you know. Like I said earlier, we'll stay 10, 12 hours. Right. Yeah, we'll do 10, 12 hours. Yeah. One day when I was getting pretty good, pretty dope, my brother, dude, like, would push me, dude. Yeah. Like, yeah. He would push me to the limit. Yeah, but, you know, I mean, it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing because that's how I got good, too. Yeah, dude, he'll sit like right after school, dude. Me and him, just one on one. He's like, you want to get this move? All right, let's go get it. Get it, get it, get it, get it.
So, amongst these crews, mm-hmm. and like, is there like sibling rivalry? Is like, this is like, I know within the Hmong community, mm-hmm. like clans, right? Mm-hmm. And so, is there a rivalry between them? Do like, they push each other and, that sort of thing? Is like, is there maybe some groups or families that are more known for being deep into breakdancing or others?
You know, there's there's actually like let me see. Yeah, well like not really, you know what I'm saying? Not really, you know. No. Yeah, not really. Like, it was just...
There's, like, not families that are, like, deep into b-boying, b-growing, and
nothing. Yeah, not that much. You know, because, like, shoot, dude, how... Let me see, like, you could say, maybe there's a few, mm-hmm. but not that I know of, you know? Because I know there's one... One that's really deep into it. I don't really know his name, but he's a pro too. Yeah. He's from France. Okay. Yeah, he's really into it too. And then, you know what? Actually, I can tell you this: my best friend Jamers is, dude. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's deep into it too. Okay. Yeah, cause he started the same time I did too. Mm-hmm. But he was more into it, you know?
Right.
Yeah. He was, like, more into it. I was just, like, I just kind of learned things faster than him, but he was more into it. He knew more than me, you know? Like, me, I didn't really know anything. I just, all I know is just my buddy James would be like, hey, yo, just do this and that. Okay, cool. Now I'll just go and hit it, you know? Yeah. Yeah, but, yeah, he's pretty deep into it. He got his son. His son is pretty dope. You know, his son's like gonna be 18 now. His son's pretty dope, and then his daughter's getting down too.
Yeah,
yeah. Right. Yeah, his youngest daughter's getting down with it too. So, yeah.
So for you, Yoshi specifically, like, what was you talked about? You were able to pick up stuff pretty quickly, well. And took you hours of practice.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
But what was your power moves? What were you known for? Like,
oh,
what was your specialty?
Okay, my specialties. Okay. Back in the days, there was these combos, Wimma 90 and a Flare 90. Mm-hmm. Back in the days, if you can do those, you were like one of the top dogs, you know?
Can you describe it? Like, how does that look? Like, how does that go down?
Oh, shoot.
How would you describe it to someone?
Kind of like...
Seen it before?
Shoot. Like a Flare? Okay, like kind of like the Olympics. You know how they do flares and stuff? Yeah. And you know how they get up with their hands? Yeah.
Gymnast.
Yeah, like a gymnast, yeah. But instead of going, you know, that the gymnasts, they call it flare illusions. Mm. But we did flare 90 where you spin with one hand. Mm-hmm. You know, you do a flare and then you do a 90 and then that's a one hand. You spin with one hand instead of illusion, two hands. Yeah, and then the windmill 90, you know, the windmill is kind of like where you roll on your back and then you get on your hands. Kind of like a flare, but then you're on your back instead of your hands, and then you get on your hands. Yeah. So back in the days, if you could get that, then you were like dope, you know. So during my time, you know, I have these two buddies. They're in Horizon. One guy's named Billy. One guy's named Tony. Mm-hmm. Billy had the flare 90s. Tony had the Wilma 90s. So I was like, shoot, these guys are dope. What if I put these two moves together, then I'll be the dopest. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So one day, you know, I just told my brother, I was like, hey, dude, you heard of this combo? They're like, yeah. I was like, hey, let me get down with it. And then, you know, now I just started doing it because I was like, shoot, you know, it takes two, one guy to do this, one guy to do that. What if I put it together? You know what I'm saying? So, bam. I was just like, hey, cool. Put it together. Bam. You know, just started hitting it. People were just like, whoa, you know. But the sad thing about me is that, you know, like I didn't, you know, I had to learn everything both ways because some of my moves was opposite from the other. So it was kind of hard for me. That was just the hardest part of me because I had to learn everything both ways, you know. So one move would be the same, but the other, when I combo, would be a switch, you know. So it was kind of hard. So some moves was kind of hard. Like the flare 90, it took me about close to a year to really get it. You know, and then right after that, I, you know, my max was like 9, you know, back in the days. But that was just the hardest combo for me because that when I flared 90, that was my switch. Mm-hmm. That 90 was my switch. So it was kind of hard, you know? Yeah. So, you know, I'll go to school with a busted forehead, you know what I'm saying? Busted elbow, be like, hey, what happened? You get beat up? No, it's from dancing, you know? Yeah. But yeah, those were the moves back then. And then if you can combo for like, you know, for days, you know, then yeah, you're a dope too. Yeah. And then so I was like, you know what, put these two together and then bam, you're dope. And then so, yeah, dude. And then, you know, like I said, I had to do moves both ways. So, you know, I was like, you know what? Okay, what if I do, for example, like a flare 90 flare and I pause and then I go around the other way. So I was like, okay, you know, people might not like it, but, you know, I'm going to have to do it, you know. And then now it's a big thing, too, you know. You can, you know, they call it reverse now, or you can switch. Now it's a big thing, too, you know. So I was like, you know, I have to do it. So I just started doing all that. And then down the line, you know, I started mastering everything both ways and then started getting down, yeah.
So you got down, like, at school and stuff?
Yeah, school and stuff, too.
And, like, amongst... maybe like outside your group of friends or at school, like, did you guys get a lot of love and respect for the things that you're doing?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, back in middle school, we did. When it was time, they gave us love, you know. But like when there was time to practice, you know, they just gave us a little spot, you know. They didn't want us to interfere with other people,
right?
So they gave us a little gym. You know, a little spot for us to buzz. But yeah, when it came down to it, they gave us love too, you know. Like when they had like, you know, like those high schools and middle schools thing, when you go inside the gym and they do stuff, yeah, they'll...
like a rally.
Yeah, like a rally, yeah, you know what I'm saying? And then they'll just like, hey, you know, you guys want to, you know, you guys want to buzz some moves? I'm like, all right, cool, slap on some beat, you know?
Yeah.
And we just go and rock it, yeah.
What music are you getting down to this time, like? What songs, maybe popular songs people would know? Just
back in the days?
Yeah.
Back in the days, we used to like Stevie B, you know, Timmy O, Johnny O, you know, freestyle jams and all that stuff. Yeah, back in the day, it was just those. Yeah. Like a lot of freestyle songs. Yeah, it was crazy, man. Those songs are still badass. I can still rock with those too.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on.
I still rock with it too.
Nice. Yeah. Tell me a little bit more about your crew. Like, was it just Hmongs? Just like friends?
There was.
Yeah,
it was just Hmong people. Yeah.
And how about today? Like, some of your old crews.
We got a couple Hispanics and Cambodians and stuff, like like different Asians. Yeah.
Is there any ever like conflict? Is it?
No. Yeah. No. Yeah. Never conflict. No. Yeah.
How about like within the community you grew up, Southeast Fresno, on the east side? Is there any conflict?
Some there would be like. Some would be like, you know, like, we'll go and do it. And they'd be like, Nah, we thought of it first. We did it first, because back in the days, camera was really hard to come by, So you had your own place. So, they're like, nah, we thought of it first. Nah, we thought of it first, and then it'll get down to that, People will just argue about who thought of the move first and stuff like that. But yeah, other than that, then, it was pretty cool. And as the time went on, and then, new generation come, then, we'll still have the same battle where crew comes to crew and then battle. People still be like, oh, we won, you guys lost, and then they'll go and, let other people know, like, yeah, we killed him, but, really it's like, it's a fun battle,
Did it ever get like per does it ever get personal, like get heated? Has it ever, like, you get from experience, you like?
From my experience, like on the streets, not just arguments, not really into like, fist fights and stuff, just arguments. But like in competitions, there will be like some fist fights and stuff too. Yeah, it'll go crazy there.
It's kind of like, do you remember any ones in particular you had to throw down in, or what?
That time I was like little, so I didn't really know much. So so when there was a fight, you just kind of back off, you just kind of back off, let everything cool down, and then you just get back into it. Yeah, there was a jam at Holmes. Yeah, there was a jams at Holmes, and then there were some people that threw it, but then the crew, we didn't really get along. You know what I'm saying? There was beef between us because it was like Asian and Hispanic don't really click, you know what I'm saying? So it was the Hispanic that kind of hosted, And then yeah, there was like conflict, and then yeah, dude, one day we were just battling it out, and then they were getting whooped. They were getting whooped. I mean, I'm serious. They were getting whooped, and they were getting mad at us. And then we were little kids back then. I had little kids too, like fourth generation DIS, Little kids just trying to train them, And then, their first time ever battling experience, and then, you see, like, they're, like, maybe 18, 19 already, and then they'll come down, and, they know they're getting killed, and they'll just start throwing water bottles and stuff like that at us, trying to, cause problem. And then, we just kind of, like, hey, dude, we're just little kids, man. We're just, like, 14, 15-year-olds, just, trying to make it out there, Hey, it's cool, Yeah.
Why do you think there was that beef, or that those issues between Hispanic and Hmong community we touched on a little bit?
Maybe just shoot, dude, maybe just because at that time, maybe just like maybe like for like fame and whoever whoever like kind of like thought of the moves first, or like we called it bite back then, like, cause like, you can't see YouTube nowadays and just copy the moves. You know what I'm saying? It's not bite no more, because you're just doing the moves now. Back then you had to think of your own stuff. So, we'll do stuff, and then they'll do stuff, and then we'll, they'll call it a bite. We'll call it a bite, and then everybody will just get mad, and then it'll just come down to that. But yeah, usually my guys, I'll just tell everybody just to lay back off. No trouble. We're just here to have fun. You want to get, you want to make that as your career, let's go, we'll take you there and stuff like that,
What were some of the, some of the Hispanic or Latino groups, crews? Some of the names?
Shoot, I can't remember, dude.
Whether you say there were more Hmong Asian crews and.
Yeah, there was more, like, yeah, sometime here and there you'll see like a group or two of Hispanic, like from Madera, maybe one from like the. Like the central Fresno, or the west side, or something like that. Yeah, and they'll come down and try to come rock too, but
So amongst Hmong community, Southeast Asian community, East Side, it's really like the Hmongs have sort of really grasped onto hip hop and popping is, I mean, excuse me, break dancing, popping too, and
yeah, some popping too.
and really like preserved it and pushed it. How do you think breakdancing is like shaped the community, East Side Hmong community?
Shoot.
How has it shaped your life?
Shoot, it changed me a lot too, Like, yeah, it changed me a lot. Like, You know, back then when you were a little kid, you know, you kind of like, you know, you see like, you know, you watch TV, you see like these kids, they're kind of like famous, you know, you're like, okay, cool. You know, oh, hey, you know, I'm pretty good at this. Let's try to get, you know, try to get popular at this too. You know, it's kind of like a fame game kind of, you know. So, you know, you'll do that and then, yeah, just try to get popular and stuff like that. But, you know. Really wasn't really for fame, you know what I'm
No.
saying?
What was it for? Why did you do it?
You know, back then when I first did it, I was like, you know what, I'm gonna do it for fame, you know. But then as I got down, you know, I'm like, shoot, you know, that's not really the case anymore. You know, you're just doing it because you love it, you know. You're just doing it and you wanna pass down. You want to pass down your you know your history down to some other guys, you know. So it was just like passion now, you know. You know, like you didn't really care about the fame no more, you know. That's it, that's done, you know. You know you was good already, so you know, pass it down, you know. And let the kids know properly, you know, let them know, hey, you know what, these guys was the guys that got me into it, you know. So make sure you pass it down to your guys too, you know. Like, hey, this guy gave it to him. And now he gave it to me, and I'm gonna give it to you, you know?
That's
Yeah,
important.
that's important right there, you know? Because if you don't know that, then, you know, then you don't really know breaking, you know? Because because the Hmong community, we never called it breaking back in the days. You know, before me, they called it housing.
Yeah.
Yeah, they called it housing, you know? We called it, you know, now they call it top rock. We called it up rock back in the days. Yeah. You know, so they'll house and then, you know, and then a walks, you know, walks was like some kind of moves like from Beat Street and stuff. Like they do like crabs. Now they call it turtles, you know, we'll do like Apple Jacks and stuff like that. UFOs, Dead Man, they call it, I don't know what they call Dead Man and stuff now, you know. Jackhammers, we used to call it Atomic Jacks and stuff like that, you know. Yeah. Yeah. Now it's all changed. But yeah, dude, back in the days, you know, you used to house and do walks, you know. And then from there on, you know, after watching like, you know, what's his name? Like Ivan and Little Caesar, you know, when they started doing the power move. And then it's like, wow, you know. And then you're like, oh, shoot. Start doing that, you know, and then you know, then you can just transition from here and there, you know what I'm saying? Just add everything together and just do your own thing.
Cool, man. Well, before we wrap this up, man, why don't you give some of your crew some love, man? Who else was a part of your crew growing up? Some of your friends that were getting down, still
Oh,
getting down.
shoot, no. Now that's still getting down is, I can say probably the only guy that's putting it down right now is just my boy Jamers, man.
Yeah.
He's still doing it, dude.
Yeah.
Still killing it. Still killing it.
What's Jamer's full name?
James Vane.
James Vane?
Yeah, we
Okay.
just call him Jamers
Yeah,
for
that's fine.
sure, yeah. But yeah, dude, you know, and then you know, from my time, yeah, he's still getting it down. And then you know, my boy Charles too, you know, I gotta give him credit too for, you know, still throwing it down for like 20 plus years, you know, from Climax Soul Control. I gotta give him love for you know, me and James was trying to look for him for like 2, 3 years and finally we found him, you know. And then, you know, we got together again and he, you know, and then he was like put us into his little crew and then yeah. Shout out to my brothers for, you know, bring B-Boy to me, you know, and all my buddies. Horizon. Met them too, that inspired me too. Hell yeah.
Cool. Was there any last stories you want to share? Anything else you want to share, man? For our listeners?
No, man. That's it, dude. You know, if you love breaking, keep it, man.
Yeah.
It's always gonna be in you. You know what I'm saying? It's always. No matter if you're 60 years old and you haven't breaking like 50 years, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is your root too, you know. Always gonna come back down to this.
Cool. We appreciate it, Yoshi.
Yeah, sure.
Appreciate you contributing to this project for us. And again, this is Raymond Ray signing off for the Fresno State's Valley Public History Initiative, the project straight out of Fresno. Thank you, Yoshi.
For sure.